Big Red Monday with Doug and Wolf, presented by Sanderson Ford, your home for everything Arizona Cardinals, 98.7 FM, Arizona's sports station.
Well, you could feel it in the sense that with the Seahawks winning and the Rams winning, whoever won in San Francisco was going to be tied for first, and whoever lost was going to be the only team in the division that was in last place. And it didn't end up being the Cardinals. Good morning. It's Doug and Wolf on 98.7 FM, Arizona Sports Station. Cardinals, as Maloney just said, 1-0.
Well, I'll tell you what, Douglas, the NFC West looks pretty formidable, doesn't it?
Well, the Rams look so much better than I expected.
Yes. They did. Yes. That's exactly what I'm talking about. The Cowboys, I think, are going to be a good team. Now, listen, week one in the National Football League, as we all know, it's kind of a crapshoot to begin with. It just is, ladies and gentlemen. You really don't know what you're going to get. If you're going to get an upset, it's probably going to happen in week one. That's when you have a preseason. The fact that there was no preseason whatsoever, it just amplifies that point. Who knows what's going to happen? But if you play well, and that's exactly what the Arizona Cardinals did, that's a good sign going forward, especially if you win.
It was an amazing sports weekend when you have no hitters, false positives, 19-point comebacks in the NBA, and tying a Willie Mays.
I can't believe the Nuggets did that, Douglas.
I know.
I can't believe they forced a Game 7 with Eclipse.
It was just it was an amazing sports weekend. Hopefully you had an opportunity to enjoy it. But right now, all eyes on reacting to what happened yesterday.
Doug and Wolf, Big Red Reacts.
Go.
Reaction to yesterday's Cardinals game.
Boy, you're talking about fun to watch.
Presented by the Wecopa Casino Resort, where world-class action meets Four Diamond Splendor.
Didn't take very long, and it kind of stunk right from the start.
Snap is good. Ball is down. The kick is up, and the kick is good. Sam,
52 yards. It's 3-0, and then you turn right around, and as if that's not enough.
Snap to Garoppolo. Three-step drop. Moves up in the pocket. Dumps it off across the middle. Caught at the 30, at the 40, at the 50-yard line. It's Mostert. He's free. 30, 20, 15, 10, 5, touchdown.
Oh, boy. That didn't take very long. So before we've actually played 3.5 minutes, it's 10-0.
It's 10-0 right there. And that was Raheem Mostert coming out on an angle route. That was very, very similar to what the 49ers ran against the Arizona Cardinals last year, running that running back out of the backfield on an angle route where Chandler Jones was actually covering the back. It was a mismatch. They scored a touchdown there, a huge play, of course. And Mostert did the same thing to Isaiah Simmons.
So the Arizona Cardinals give up the field goal. They punt. They give up the touchdown. They punt. The 49ers have the ball. And this is where things, well, you just knew you didn't have Amos Jones anymore, didn't you, Wolf?
They will snap it from the 36. Wisnowski stands at his 22-yard line. And the punt is blocked. It was blocked by Ezekiel Turner, recovered by Gardeck, who gets up and runs at the 15, and he's tackled at the 10. We said it in pregame. The Cardinals went all year in 2019 without a block kick. They get one in the first quarter here in Santa Clara, and it could change the momentum of the game.
Boy, the worst thing about that block, Wolf, is I immediately got a text from a person. We'll just call him, I don't know, we'll make up a name and call him Lorenzo, that said the Barbarian was all over that punt.
There's
like,
no
oh, no.
Oh, there's oh, no.
No
doubt about it, man. It should have been a scoop and score. That's what I think, Zoe. It should have been a scoop and score, but it doesn't matter. They got it. It was interesting because they did it out of a 4x4 set, a balanced front, and they brought the X game right up the middle. Two guys, loopers. One takes the personal protector. The other guy just goes for the punt. That's exactly what happened. They confused the protection scheme of the 49ers, and Zeke Turner just made an incredible play.
Always exciting to have a one-play drive after that.
Kyler Murray under center takes play action. Rolling right, dumps it off to the right to Edmonds. Caught at the 10 to the 5, heading for the pylon. Stuck the ball out, hit the pylon, and it's a touchdown. It's a touchdown for Chase Edmonds, the first score of 2020 for the Cardinals, coming off the punt block.
Break the plane of the end zone. Break the glass, as my old coach used to say. What an incredible play by Chase Edmonds.
better have a good grip on that ball. Sorry, Sun Devil fans. N'Keal Harry had a play like that in the Patriots game, and he fumbled it out of the back of the end zone for a touchback.
I saw it.
And so, I'm like, hey, it's not worth the risk if you lose it, and it's a great play if you succeed.
You got to do it.
And then the D-hop show started to take over.
Murray takes the shotgun snap. Play fake. Sets up deep in the pocket. Throws a deep ball far sideline on target. DeAndre Hopkins with a first down catch. His fifth grab already, and they're inside the Niner 40-yard line.
Boy, that was just a precursor of things to come for DeAndre Hopkins and Kyler Murray, was it not, my friends?
That set up the field goal in which you thought it was going to tie it.
Zane Gonzalez trying to tie the game, a 52-yard attempt. Snap, spot, the kick is up, but the kick is no good. Missed it wide to the right.
Mm.
Next.
Not the 52-yarders are easy or anything, but, boy, you needed that one, and at least he was able to come back on at the end of the half. And why was he able to come back on the end of the half? Because of the weirdest relay in football history.
Murray back to pass. Throws over the middle to Hopkins. Caught at the 37. Now they got to spike it as he gets to the ground. Fitz grabs the ball, hands it to Mason Cole, the center. The official has it. 3 seconds. They snap it and spike it with 2 seconds to go.
When are we ever going to get tired of Fitz's football IQ? It's unbelievable.
Larry Fitzgerald literally gave the Arizona Cardinals 3 points by grabbing the ball and rushing it back to the umpire.
Second half.
Kyler Murray in shotgun. Back to throw. Pocket breaks down. Murray runs to the left across midfield. 45. Got the first down at the 40. 35 and out of bounds at the 32. Got a great block downfield.
And Kyler leads all rushers for the Arizona Cardinals with 91 yards rushing.
That's going to be something that's really going to be important as the season unfolds. Just the fact that Kyler Murray can use his legs. He put on tape yesterday what every defensive coordinator does not want to see.
Now, this is not an important play, but somehow I think Maloney put it in the Big Red Reacts because Wolf wants it.
Three men in the backfield with Kyler Murray, and now they shift, and you've got Strebler in under center with Murray wide to the left. Strebler takes the snap. It's a quarterback sneak off the left side for a first down to the 23.
Okay, so they're going to use up short yardage and goal line. Is that what you're saying right there? Short yardage and goal line. By the way, Kyler Murray in motion. Did you notice
yes. That?
Put him in motion across the formation. That was absolutely genius. And then, of course, the quarterback sneak, and they converted.
So that's the first three quarters of Big Red Reacts. Would you like a drive rundown? Punt, punt, 10-yard touchdown drive off the block punt. Punt, missed field goal, interception, missed field goal, punt. That's your Arizona Cardinals offense for the first three quarters. And then a 14-play, 71-yard drive.
Shotgun formation, snap to Murray, in trouble, steps up and runs to his right of the 20. Cuts back to the left of the 10, breaks a tackle to the 5, running right for the end zone, touchdown. Kyler Murray with a touchdown run. Arizona has the lead in San Francisco, 16-13 with 10:26 to go.
Did you see the Jets? Did you see the Jets right there from Kyler Murray? That was an excellent run. And this is something, again, every defensive coordinator doesn't want to see.
Well, the Arizona Cardinals take that lead, and then just like so many times last year, they hand the lead over to the defense. And after a good game, the defense does not do their job. They give up a 6-play, 51-yard drive. Gives up the touchdown. Now San Francisco is back in the lead. And after only having the one long fourth quarter touchdown drive, the Cardinals turn around and have a 9-play, 75-yard touchdown drive.
First and goal for the Cardinals. Trips to the left. Shotgun snap and a handoff to Drake up the middle. He's in for the touchdown. Kenyon Drake from a yard out. Cardinals have the lead, 23-20.
Love it right there.
You know what I loved right there, Wolf, was the fact that that was supposed to be a DeAndre Hopkins touchdown.
Yeah.
And once Drake punched it in, Hopkins cheered just as much as anybody else. And there was never any of the, hey, that's supposed to be my touchdown, throw the ball back to me.
Yeah, replay clearly showed that DeAndre Hopkins did not break the plane right there. He was not in. They spotted the ball on the half-yard line. And I love the fact they didn't try to force it. They didn't try to get him the ball and say, well, DeAndre, that should have been your touchdown. We're going to throw you the
ball. Right.
They didn't do that. They ran the ball. They did the smart and prudent thing. And I love the way the butt guts came off and ate.
So now the Arizona Cardinals have the lead, but the 49ers have the ball again. 5 minutes to go in the game. 12 play, 59-yard drive, 3rd and 5, throw it to the end zone, and it's broken up by our 9 o'clock in the morning guest, Byron Murphy. Now it's 4th and 5.
4th and 5 for the Niners on the 16 of the Cardinals. Garoppolo to pass. Throws to the right side. Incomplete! Murphy steps in front of the receiver and knocks the ball down. The Cardinals take over on downs with 33 seconds to go, leading San Francisco 24-20.
And the Arizona Cardinals are in first place.
What a beautiful thing that is. Byron Murphy. Listen, I'm not going to say it was NFC championship game, Basinonians. I'm not going to say that suddenly the Cardinals beat the Eagles and they were going to the Super Bowl, Super Bowl 43. I'm not saying that. But that was big. Byron Murphy, and man, did it remind me of that play that sent the Arizona Cardinals, that basically closed out the Eagles. Yes, there were snaps after that, but it really ruined the Eagles' chances on their fourth down to actually beat the Cardinals in that NFC championship game. And that's exactly what it was yesterday. Byron Murphy on the out, batting the ball down. Huge play by that second-year corner.
So the Cardinals fly over San Francisco, and as they look down from their perch on at first place, Wolf will tell you what he sees next on 98.7 FM, Arizona Sports Station.
Your home for everything Arizona Cardinals. 98.7 FM, Arizona's Sports Station. Big Red Monday with Doug and Wolf. Presented by Sanderson Ford.
Here's what we do on Big Red Monday. Almost all Cardinals today. A little bit of D-backs coming up at 7 o'clock. One of the things that's really exciting is, even though there's no ASU football that stinks, Herm Edwards is still going to join us every Monday.
That's awesome.
It is awesome.
Talk
football. We can talk college football if there were big games, which there weren't. And we know he's going to pay attention to the Cardinals and some other games. We just talk football. So the head coach of ASU, former Jets and Chiefs head coach, going to join us at 8:30. And then at 9 o'clock, Byron Murphy.
Wow.
After making the last two plays of the game, is going to join us to talk about basically how cool is it, all he went through, the hard lessons he went through, especially week one of last year, and now he's involved in sealing the victory in week one of this year.
Just a huge confidence builder for Byron Murphy.
Absolutely. Now it's time to fly overhead of Levi Stadium, look down on the struggles of the offense at the beginning, and then the amazing comeback later. It's time for Wolf's Bird's Eye View.
Doug and Wolf's Bird's Eye View, where Wolf scans the Cardinals matchup yesterday from 30,000 feet.
All right, Basinonians, gather around the transistor and press the ear. My number one takeaway, number one. Do you have number one, Douglas? Can you fire off number one, as a matter of fact? No, we don't have number one. Is that what you're telling me? Command and control, nobody has? Okay, fine. Kyler Murray picked his team up.
You mean like you want a number?
Well, that way.
Like
that?
Number one.
Well, now you do. Okay, now you fire it off, Douglas. Kyler Murray picked his team up and put him on his back. Well, we did it last year. I just figured you were ready for number one, firing it off. Kyler Murray picked his team up, right? Put him on his back in the second half. He didn't will his team to victory, Basinonians. That's impossible. But he willed himself to do all that he could, including running the ball to beat the 49ers. On that 25-yard touchdown run, right, where he pulled the ball down and scrambled, he put it on tape against the blitz. And the one thing no defensive coordinator wants to see on tape is a quarterback you don't want to blitz, because he'd do just that. Get past that blitz, and then suddenly you don't have as many defenders in the secondary, and that's what happened. He got past that first wave of the blitz. They brought six and scored a touchdown on that 25-yard run. Now you also have to put a spy on him. This is a nightmare for most defensive coordinators. Number two in a gross simplification of the truth, Kyler Murray and Nuke, DeAndre Hopkins, they were the Arizona Cardinals offense. D-Hop set a career high in receptions in his first game with Kyler Murray. Let that sink in. The 49ers...
Imagine how many catches he would have had if he practiced, too.
Can you imagine? 14 receptions for DeAndre Hopkins. The 49ers did all they could to slow him down as well, and D-Hop still produced. Chemistry is... it's real, Basinonians, and so is the struggle to find that chemistry. I think these two will only get better in the coming weeks, and that's bad news for the rest of the NFC.
Number three!
How did you know I was done? Number three, as a matter of fact.
13 and a half years.
The third and final. It's 14 seasons. Will you please stop jipping me? I knew the red zone was going to be huge in this game on both sides of the ball. The team that played better, I thought, coming into this game in the red zone, Basinonians, offensively and defensively, they were most likely the team that was going to win this game. Well, the Cardinals were 2 of 2 in the red zone. Now, you'd like to get into the red zone more often, right? Unless you're scoring big plays and, you know, hitting DeAndre Hopkins for 40-yard touchdowns. But they were 2 of 2. Once they got into the red zone, they converted those red zone possessions into touchdowns. And the Arizona Cardinals defense kept the 49ers to 1 of 4 in the red zone. 1 of 4, baby. They played great in that part of the field, and that's why the Cardinals won this game. Isn't that right, Devon Kennard and Devondre Campbell, who stuffed Mostert on that run, that goal line run? I'm telling you right now, that was the play of the game defensively for the Arizona Cardinals. And that's your bird's eye view.
Bear hit the close.
I like it. This is. Did we do this last year? Is that what you're saying?
We never did this. Bear just made that up.
I like that right there. Devon Kennard. I see you holding the point, Devon. I see you, you stud. You're not going to get moved off the ball, and neither would your father.
Man, it's the freaking league himself, man.
That's right. Hey, Petey Pablo, neither would Derek Kennard get moved off the ball. He's going to hold the point. And that's exactly what Devon Kennard did, which allowed Devondre Campbell to also come in and clean that up on that fourth and goal. Stuff the 49ers. You know the 49ers thought, oh my goodness, this is pretty boy defense. This is the Arizona Cardinals. We're going to go. You better believe we're not going to kick a field goal. We're going to score a touchdown right here. And they got stuffed. That right there, that's what I smelled something in the air, Basinonians, and I wasn't in Santa Clara. I could not smell the smoke, but you could smell something burning all the way from Phoenix. You could smell it, couldn't you?
That was about as big as it gets. I mean, when you look at how many times this defense was a failure last year, and Corey Peters just saying it in the preseason of we have to own our failure from last year, and then you get a fourth down stand from the defense in a goal line stand. And then on top of it, you get the actual, we just took the lead late in the fourth quarter, and you still make a stand then, too, against a team that thinks we're a Super Bowl team, and obviously last year they were. That's shocking for the defense to be able to play like they did. And then you look at the stats to back up the defense of only giving up 123 rushing yards to a 49er offense, a Kyle Shanahan offense. What a game.
Yeah, you know, honestly, I thought the Arizona Cardinals outplayed the San Francisco 49ers, Ron Wolfley reporting. Now, I know the scoreboard says they outplayed them, but if you go even inside the numbers and think about it, it was so encouraging. The 49ers had 18 first downs to the Arizona Cardinals, 29. The 49ers were 2 of 11 on third down. Think about that, Doug Lease. Think how well they played on third down. Ladies and gentlemen, if there's a metric that is huge in the game of football, that's it right there. Offensively and defense. The Cardinals, 50%, 7 of 14 on third down.
If you do the math, that 7 of 14, you just did that one. The 2 of 11 is 18. So it's 50% to 18%.
Oh.
Completion percentage. I should say complete conversion rate on third downs. That's such a dramatic difference, and that has so much to do with why the Cardinals were winners in this game. Coming up next, Kyler Murray, DeAndre Hopkins, Cardinals offense flying high, and a little bit deeper dive into the specifics of this defense. That's next on 98.7 FM, Arizona Sports Station.
Your home for everything Arizona Cardinals. 98.7 FM, Arizona's sports station. Big Red Monday with Doug and Wolf. Presented by Sanderson Ford.
Full disclosure, I have no idea how we're going to pull it off, but we'll give it a shot coming up at 7:15 this morning. If you're new to the Doug and Wolf Show, we've done it for years. The listeners-only meeting at 7:15 following a Cardinals game. So feel free to call in then. If don't call in now, you'll drive Baron Maloney nuts. But that's coming up at 7:15 this morning, the listeners-only meeting with Wolf, Baron Maloney, all in the Auction Community Studios while I am at Studio Wife. That might be a little strange. Paulie Pigskin Report is coming up in 15 minutes to give you a front row seat, not a sideline view, a front row seat to the Cardinals' victory. And there's so many different aspects of the victory for Arizona, but it's really cool to just be able to hit the button that says play on my iPad right now because of just how upfront all last year Corey Peters was as a stand-up guy for all the defensive failures, and then to have that defense play as well as they did through most of that game yesterday.
It felt great, you know, and one thing we've talked about is this being a new year, us coming out and trying to set an identity for this new team. And I think we still have a long ways to go. There were lots of mistakes today, and I think that was to be expected, but it's a lot easier to make the corrections after a win. So we'll be hard about the tape and try to get better for next week.
Yeah, you know, honestly, right now the defense, much improved, much improved. Now, listen, you don't want to build a church on one game. So don't do it. I'm not going to do it, and I don't think Vance Joseph is going to do it. I don't think any Cardinal is going to do it. I don't think they're going to build a church in one game. The defense, though, was much improved, and I thought won this game for Big Red. Yeah, that's what I said. I think the defense won this game. To only give up 20 points to the 49ers in their place, their stadium, that's huge.
Just finding ways to make those big stops, whether it was a third down or a fourth down. Felt like last year we gave some of those up, and this year they made them today, and we got to continue to build it. And I think that's a unit that will continue to build cohesion with those new pieces you talked about. I mean, guys are still figuring it out. Drake Kirkpatrick, you know, just got here. Talked about Jordan Phillips, talked about Devondre, talked about Isaiah being a young guy. The game will slow down for him. So I think as we go, we're hoping those guys will get a better feel for our defense and what we're trying to accomplish.
I think that's the theme that, listen, every team except for four of them right now, because there's two games tonight, every team is in one or two categories. They're either explaining that it's early, relax, because they're 0-1, or they're explaining that, hey, how exciting it is. We've got a lot to work on. We made a lot of mistakes, but it's fun to make adjustments in a win.
Okay, yeah.
Everybody is in one of those two categories, but at least with this Cardinals defense, it doesn't feel like it's overwhelmingly bad. Like you can't trust them. And there were, you know, when you saw the big gain and the long touchdown run early in the first quarter, and then when you saw them give up the lead in the fourth quarter for the first 49ers touchdown drive, those two incidents made you feel totally like last year. Totally. but that's just two events. Now, granted, one of them's a drive, but that's just two events in a 60-minute game. And I don't want to get too excited over it, but I admit I am a little because of how much respect I have for the 49ers offense.
Right.
That's why. Now, granted, they don't have OTAs. They're a timing, not a timing like Norv Turner, but a timing as far as all of the misdirection, the eye candy, the things they do are all based on everybody being on a really, really good page. And maybe some of that was interrupted. And I want, you know, they'll get better too. But the fact that you were able to handle it as a defense was the best performance that Vance Joseph has had since he's been here.
As I said earlier, I thought the defense won the game for the Arizona Cardinals. Jimmy G threw to a wide receiver four times for 41 yards. Now listen, no Deebo Samuel, no Brandon Ayuk.
Right.
We knew it was going to be trouble. But the fact four times for 41 yards, and I thought Jimmy G was okay. He was not the problem for the 49ers. It was lockdown on the outside, and that helped mitigate George Kittle, who had four receptions for 44 yards. And I know he got nicked up, Basinonians, but he finished the game. Mm-hmm. And if he was injured, he would not have been out there in the second half. Mm-hmm. That would not have happened. The Arizona Cardinals defense played very, very well, and that's encouraging.
It's only 1 week, so it makes it very unfair to say, but if you had a chance to watch what happened in Atlanta, you had Russell Wilson having a Kurt Warner day, four incompletions, four touchdowns. You had Jared Goff and the old misdirection of that offense feeling like it was totally back with the Rams. I'm bringing up this point again. It's week one, and I'm saying this carefully. But if I had to say which quarterbacks in this division do I want to win a game for me today, I'm taking Jimmy G last.
Yeah.
Out of the four quarterbacks of the division. And this is the guy that just went to the Super Bowl.
Yeah.
But I'm taking him last. Now, like I said, it's one game. We'll see what happens when he gets weapons. It's got to be hard to go into a football game playing with one hand tied behind your back. And he probably felt like that with losing two of his receivers. But he also knew about it. I mean, they knew their receivers weren't going to be there and still weren't able to do the things that a 49er offense normally does. Our 9 o'clock guest this morning is Byron Murphy. He made the play on third down. Here's what he was thinking then on fourth and five to finish.
Last play, I just knew it was going to be a passing down. So once we got the call, you just had to lock into your keys. I had to play my leverage. Everyone on the defense had to play their leverage, and the ball came and just made a play. So it just excited to be able to make that play when the ball came.
What jacked me up about that play, Wolf, is if you think about it, the cardinal sin is to allow the catch and not make the tackle. You got to do one or the other. You either knock the ball down or you make the – fine, they get the first down, but you make the tackle, make sure they don't get into the end zone. For Byron Murphy to be in position to both knock the ball down, but it seemed like if he missed, he was going to be able to make the tackle. That seems light years ahead of where he was last year.
Yeah, no, you're right about that. That was great. Trent Taylor, of course, was the number two receiver in a trips formation. I believe it was George Kittle who was lined up on the inside, and – he was the number two receiver in that trips formation, ran the out route, and just watching Byron break on the ball and go for the ball, try to make a play on the ball in man cover, man, that to me is so telling of this kid and the fact that he's actually starting to develop a little bit. And I expect him to have a great second year. You know, Kyler Murray, of course, everyone talks about him in his second year. I think Byron Murphy's getting ready to have a great second year as well. That nickel corner, Basinonians, is a starting position. That's the way I look at it in the National Football League in the year 2020 of our Lord.
It'd be interesting to talk to him about just that. Again, Cardinals first-round pick and second-year corner, Byron Murphy, going to join us coming up at 9 o'clock this morning. Byron, you're on the field. Your defense just gave up a touchdown drive, which you might have felt could lose you the game. Offense gets you back into the lead. 5 minutes to go. 49ers have the ball at home. They're the defending NFC champions. Mindset,
We came to the sideline, we came together, we just knew we had to get one more stop to win this game. Everyone just, you know, energy was great. That's one thing that, you know, I kept trying to, you know, make sure my energy was good, but the sideline energy was good as a team. We just had a great energy. But coming to that drive, you know, we just knew we had to get one stop. Fortunately, we got some plays that we obviously want to take back, but we got that stop, and that's all that matters.
That is all that matters. You got that stop. Huge play. Just a huge win for the Arizona Cardinals overall. We really haven't even talked about that. The impact of the win, Basinonians. 1-0, baby. Validation. Oh, validation draweth nigh. It validates all the hype of the offseason, does it not? The Cardinals were the darlings of the offseason. They were the lookout pick coming into this season. And all they did was go out and reinforce that way of thinking. They beat the defending champions of the NFC in their stadium. This is, that's huge. The validation that comes with it, because it also brings confidence. And confidence is a currency of competition. Never forget that, Basinonians. Never forget. Confidence is the currency of competition. If you're confident individually, you're most likely going to play up to your potential. If you get enough guys playing up to their potential, you're going to win games. Especially when you're as talented as the Cardinals are. You're going to win games. Confidence, baby. Huge.
And, Wolf, I know you care deeply, but since that was a divisional win, right now the Cardinals have the tiebreaker over the Seahawks and the Rams. So they're in first place.
Not building a church on one game, but, man, am I encouraged based on what I saw.
Coming up next, Paul Calvisi, front row seats to a stadium that on a lot of Sundays is half empty. What was it like totally empty? That's next on 98.7 FM, Arizona Sports Station.
Your home for everything Arizona Cardinals. 98.7 FM, Arizona's Sports Station. Big Red Monday with Doug and Wolf. Presented by Sanderson Ford.
Paul talks to football players and tries to stay out of the way. It's the Pauly Pigskin Report.
Yeah, Pauly Pigskin Report.
Easy to stay out of the way yesterday. No chance of getting run over or jack stomped by a 6'6", 345-pound lineman because I was in the visiting radio booth. So there you go. And you know what? I'm going to start with my last visual, Doug, and that was looking down from the booth. And even though I was up at the press level, there's no one in the stadium. And you can still hear everything. And I hear somebody whooping it up, and I look down as I'm ignoring whatever Wolf was saying during the postgame show, and I take off my headsets, and it's the head coach. My last visual is Cliff Kingsbury jogging off the field with a honking huge smile on his face, whooping it up with all the players and the assistants. And it resonated with yours truly in particular because of the way things ended last year at the 49ers, and he was not in a good mood. And it was not a good post-game interview for yours truly. Let's just put it that way. So that certainly didn't help with matters, and it was very good just to see. And it reinforced the before and after of last year versus yesterday. And, you know, speaking of the coaching, I'm not sure we're giving enough credit to the coaches for keeping these guys focused, because there were ample opportunities to be distracted, from staying inside the locker room while the PA guy, in addition to everything else, the PA guy announces the team. They're not on the field. The national anthem plays. They're not on the field. The field itself looks like you're playing football in a smoke-filled pool hall. Doug's over there trying to shake guys down for money during college.
You don't have one, do you, Paul?
I mean, instead of Sourdough Sam, I was waiting for the mascot to come out to be Smokey the Bear. You know, it's bad when you flip on the local news, and it's not a weather forecast, but it's a smoke forecast.
Oh.
And instead of the your five-day guaranteed for... No, it was the expected five-day AQI, the air quality index they're trying to project. Realize, San Jose had closed all parks. They didn't want people outdoors. The restaurants had closed outdoor dining for a couple of days. They reopened them going into the... There were lists of unhealthy air cancellations. COVID testing outside where you drive up, canceled, just because it was outside. They had interviews with wine country, with the vintners, about how the smoke's going to impact the grapes.
That's ironic, isn't it, Paul?
I mean,
you cancel COVID stuff
right
because of the smoke.
But the Niners did play 2 years ago after the Paradise Fire 2018 with the AQI in the 160s. So, and then, as I told Wolf yesterday, there were guys you run into, the players are like, what do you mean smoke? Like, they're so locked in, they had no idea.
That was the best.
Can you describe the sky? We drove home from Mass yesterday, and I could barely see Estrella Mountain, which is like a couple, like a mile and a half from the house. And I know it was from the California fires. For just us, how bad, like, what was the sky like, Paul?
It was just gray soup. If you've ever been to Monterey Bay or even just seen the Pebble Beach Pro-Am on TV, and there's the morning coastal air that comes in off Monterey Bay, Carmel, and so forth, and, mm-hmm. and there's all the fog that hangs below the canopy of the cypress trees. That's what it was, except it was smoke.
Ugh.
You thought it was fog, but it wasn't. The California governor said that if you're near those wildfire zones, it's the equivalent to smoking 20 packs of cigarettes.
Oh my goodness, Paul.
And then you had the empty stadium. You know, typically on a road game, the sideline feeds off all the haters, all the home fans who are ripping your team behind your bench. Except now it's a library out there. It's and really the pumped in crowd noise wasn't very loud at all. Not nearly as loud as I thought it was going to be. So, as I said, it was BYOE, bring your own energy, because you couldn't feed off the crowd. There was none, and the pumped in crowd noise. And then the way the game started is exactly the way the last game ended, was it not? With a running back torching a Cardinals linebacker on an angle route.
Yeah.
And there's Raheem Mostert.
That was brutal, was it not?
And you're like, they lifted that off the end of last year's game. And sure enough, it worked because of what Kyle Shanahan does best. He messes with your eyes, and he got the rookie. He got Isaiah Simmons. And by the way, in talking with some folks, Isaiah Simmons, you know, he really has caught on to the plan very well. Now, does he need the experience and the reps? Absolutely, based on yesterday. But they were starting him out in two positions, and it was inside and outside linebacker, and we saw both. But Wolf has reported during the game, we were also told, you know what, you're going to hear Hassan Reddick's name in this game. And sure enough, he ended up getting quite a few snaps, I think, at the expense of Isaiah Simmons, especially in that second half.
I was going to say, Paulie, I thought he actually got more snaps than Isaiah
Simmons.
Yeah, I
did too. Yeah.
And by the way, in that second half, Jimmy G led one scoring drive. And again, they were 0 for on third down in the first half, 2 for 11 on third down for the game. And if you could have one attribute to your defense and one attribute to your team that they didn't have last year, play your best in the clutch, right?
Mm-hmm.
Because, I mean, the numbers on those two go-ahead fourth-quarter touchdown drives where they gained 172 yards on 23 plays and they took over 10 minutes off the clock. And then you had Kyler, who was 7 of 9 passing for 80 yards, ran 5 times for 46 yards, a 22-yard scoring run. DeAndre Hopkins on those two fourth-quarter scoring drives, 5 catches for 76 yards. So if you can play your best when it matters most, and you can develop that one trait as a team to be clutch, because once again, everybody now, just because you're close on the scoreboard does not mean you're close to being a winning team in the NFL.
You know, I've said this for a long time. I really do believe the offense, Paulie, for the Arizona Cardinals is still going to be the strength of this football team going forward. They don't need the defense to be locked down. They don't need the defense to be elite. They don't need the defense to even be top 10. If the defense is just in the middle of the pack, average, I think, for the most part, they're going to win 9-10 games.
By the way, the Niners, as they struggled against that Cardinals defense, we were reminded of the fact that, remember, the Niners can get out of Jimmy G's contract at the end of this year with less than a $4 million cap hit.
Yes.
Tick-tock on that one. And, you know, because and Dan Orlovsky said this morning on ESPN what we've been talking about all offseason. If you're a defensive coordinator, who would you rather game plan against? Dan Orlovsky called Kyler this morning a top five quarterback in the NFL when it comes to QBs, D coordinators do not want to go against.
That's exactly what I've been talking about, Paulie. The defensive coordinators, they saw what they don't want to see out of Kyler Murray yesterday. Brutal.
After the game, the only guy who got more slaps on the back than Kyler and D-Hop was Zeke Turner. Zeke Turner with a punt block, so he was chopping it up with the guys.
Changed
after the game,
Paulie.
You know? And by the way, let's go into the locker room here. We're just going to blatantly rip this off. azcardinals.com, all access. Here's Cliff Kingsbury with the team in the post-game speech.
We face adversity as big as you can face. Y'all kept going. All right, that's a hell of a job finding a way to win. We built something today. Because to come out, y'all felt how sloppy it was. Y'all felt how tired we are. Now we just get better and better. But couldn't be more proud of the effort and guys sticking together. I want to give a game ball to a new member of our team. Have 14 catches, 152 yards.
See, now, normally, a guy will just come up and take the ball and, you know, kind of acknowledge and then go. But this time, DeAndre Hopkins took the ball and had a little bit of a speech.
Bro, from the moment I walked in this building, man, I felt something special about this team. I promise you. I know we got what it takes to get what we want, but it's one day at a time. Let's keep working. Let's keep working. 1, 2, 3, get it.
And our last thought here, Paulie, props to the guy who ripped the football out of DeAndre Hopkins' hand at the end of the first half, Larry Fitzgerald.
Oh, my gosh, what a play.
The football IQ to spot that ball and save the seconds necessary to get off the half-ending field goal that, hey, by the way, did it make a difference at the end when the Niners couldn't kick a game-winning field goal and had to try it and go for six?
Incredible.
I realize there's no way to project how does the rest of the game change without those 3 points. But how do you argue it's not the most significant play in the history of football when it's not a play? I mean, it's not a play. There's nothing there. There's no stat. There's nothing. That's not a play. And yet it probably is why they won.
You know, and I noticed this from up top more than ever, the biggest hindrance to the Cardinals' up-tempo offense are the officials.
Yes.
They can't get in position quick enough. They're you know, these are older guys, and they're not all that athletic, obviously. And like, you have to wait for the side judge and the back judge and everyone to get in position before you can snap the ball. And I'm thinking internally, it's probably driving Cliff Kingsbury nuts.
It's a huge point, Paul. And I don't even blame the refs. I blame the league. And I totally mean that. The league made the stupid decision 3 or 4 years ago to move the umpire behind the line of scrimmage as opposed to exactly where he belongs behind the defensive line and behind the linebackers. And by doing that, he's now in the way to try to spot it, get through the center guard. It's like he's got to run through an A-gap in order to then get back in time, and you're not supposed to snap it until he's in position. If college football has figured it out, why can't you, NFL?
I'm not so sure the NFL wants to see up-tempo, get on the ball, snap it every 10 seconds. I'm not so sure they want to see that.
You might be onto something there, because that's what they are avoiding by continually being stubborn and not admitting they were wrong to move the umpire. Coming up next, DeAndre Hopkins made his debut in Cardinal Red yesterday. Paul just gave you the Paulie Pigskin report on the speech at the end of the game in the locker room from D-Hop. What did he do on the field? That's next on 98.7 FM, Arizona Sports Station.